395. Farewell to Judah. 5th March 1946. Jesus is speaking to the people of Judah on a quiet morning. Oh, one can really say that the whole of Judah is at his feet. Little shepherds, who are generally scattered on the slopes of mountains, are also there with their sheep, at the edge of the crowd. Also those who usually go elsewhere, to fields, woods, markets, are there. Decrepit old people are there, and close to Jesus there are smiling children, and young girls, and new brides, and women about to give birth to a child, and those giving their children suck are all there. The whole of Judah. The mountain spur projecting southwards is the amphitheater, where the tranquil people are gathered. Sitting on the grass or sitting astride a low dry stone wall, with the white horizon around, the boundless sky above, the torrent below, which shines and smiles in the morning sunshine, the beautiful green woody mountains rising all around, the people of Judah are listening to the Master, who is speaking, standing against a very tall walnut tree, his white linen garment outstanding against the dark tree trunk, smiling, his eyes sparkling with the joy of being loved, his hair lit up by the caresses of sunbeams from the east. In the respectful, heedful silence broken only by the twittering of birds and the torrent gurgling below, his words descend slowly into hearts, and his perfect voice fills the quiet air with its harmony. While I am writing, he is repeating once again, that it is necessary to comply with the Decalogue, perfected by his doctrine of love and its application to hearts.
To build in souls the abode, where the Lord will dwell, and for those who have lived keeping the law faithfully, go to live in him in the kingdom of heaven.
He says. And he goes on.
Because it is so. The inhabitation of God in men, and of men in God, is accomplished through obedience to his law, which begins with a precept of love, and is all love from the first to the last precept of the Decalogue. That is the true abode that God wants, and in which God dwells, and the reward in heaven, achieved through obedience to the law, is the true home in which you will live with God forever. Because, remember Isaiah 66th chapter, God does not dwell on the earth, which is only a footstool for his immensity, and his throne is heaven, which is too small, a mere nothing, to contain the infinite, but his abode is in the hearts of men. Only the most perfect goodness of the Father of all love can grant his children to receive him, and it is an infinite mystery, which becomes more and more perfect, that the one and trine God, the most pure triniform spirit, may be in the hearts of men. Oh! Holy Father, when will you allow me to make of these people who love you, not just a temple for our spirit, but, through your perfection of love and forgiveness, a tabernacle, so that each faithful heart may become an ark, in which the true bread of heaven will dwell, as it did in the womb of the Blessed Mother amongst all women? Oh, dearest disciples of Judah who were prepared for me by a just soul, bear in mind the prophet, and what he says, as it is the Lord who speaks, addressing those who build empty temples of stone, in which there is no justice or love, and they cannot build in themselves the throne of their Lord by obeying his commands. The prophet says, "What house will you build me? What place could you make for my rest?" And he means, do you think that you can possess me, just because you build poor walls for me? Do you think that you give me joy by means of your false practices, which are not supported by a holy life? No. God cannot be possessed through vain appearances that conceal sores and emptiness, like a golden mantle thrown on a leper, or on a clay statue, which is empty inside, without the life of the soul. And the Lord, the Master of the world, confessing that he is a poor king with too few subjects, and a poor father of too many children who have run away from his residence, says, "To whom shall I turn my eyes, if not to the man of humble and contrite spirit, who trembles at my word? Why does he tremble? Only with fear of God? No. With deep respect and true love. Because he is a humble subject and son, who says and acknowledges that the Lord is everything, while he is nothing, and he trembles with emotion feeling that he is loved, forgiven and supported by the Lord who is everything. Oh, do not look for God among proud people. He is not there. Do not look for him among hard-hearted people. He is not there. Do not look for him among unrepentant souls. He is not there. He is with the simple, the pure, the merciful, the poor in spirit, the meek people, with those who weep without cursing, with those who seek justice, with those who are persecuted, with peaceful souls. God is there. He is in those who repent, and desire forgiveness and seek expiation. And none of these offer the sacrifice of a bull, or a sheep or any other oblation, to be praised, or from superstitious terror of punishment or motives of pride, that they might appear perfect. But they offer the sacrifice of their contrite and humbled hearts, if they are sinners. Of their hearts obedient to the point of heroism, if they are just. That is what the Lord likes. Those are the offerings for which he grants himself with his ineffable treasures of love and supernatural delights. He does not give himself to the others. They already have their poor trite delights, and it is useless for God to call them to his ways, because they have already chosen their own. He will let them have nothing but neglect, fear and punishment, because they have not replied to the Lord, they have not obeyed, they have done evil in the eyes of God contemptuously and wickedly. But you, beloved people of Judah, who tremble with love and the knowledge of God, will be happy, whilst the others will be put to shame. Because you have been sneered at like fools by the mighty ones, and notwithstanding their mockery you have persisted in loving me. Because you have been rejected, because of my name, and you will be rejected even more in the future, nay, you will be disowned as outcasts of Israel, unacceptable to God, whereas the scion of eternal life is grafted into you, and into people like you, the scion of him who is rooted in the Father, and you are therefore part of God, living on his sap. And yet people would like to convince you, that you are in error, and in your eyes, simple but enlightened by grace, they would like to justify themselves in order, not to appear impious and evildoers. Because it was said to you, let the Lord show his glory, and we shall acknowledge him as joyfully as you do. They will be confused. Oh! I can already hear the vipers say, after the tumult in which they will be crushed without becoming any better, and they will cease, being harmful only when their execrable heads are trodden on, and they will bite, and kill even when they are broken into two, and only their heads emerge after an overwhelming manifestation of God. I can already hear them shout. How can the Lord have given birth to his new people all of a sudden, if we, who have been so long in his womb, are not yet born to light? Can a woman be delivered of a child, before filling the house with the cries of throes? Can the Lord have given birth before his time was due? Can the earth give birth in one day, and can the people of a country, be born all together? This is my reply, and remember it to give it to those who will persecute you scoffing at you. Those who are dead fruit in the womb of God could never have been born to light, because they became detached from the matrix, and thus dried up remaining inert like something evil concealed in the womb, instead of being developing embryos. And to eject the dead seed from his womb and have children, so that his name might not die on the earth, God became prolific of new children, marked with his taunt secretly and silently, so that Satan and his followers serving Lucifer could not be harmful. He gave birth to his son before time, due to passionate love, and at the same time he gives birth to his new people, because the Lord can do everything. Oh! He puts these words into the mouth of the prophet Isaiah. Shall I not be able to bring forth, I who make other people give birth? Shall I be sterile, I who make other people prolific? Rejoice with the Jerusalem of heaven, be glad with her, all you who love the Lord. Rejoice with her, you who are waiting, hoping and suffering. Oh! Come back to me, words. Words spoken by the word of God. Words spoken by the mouthpiece of God. Isaiah, his prophet. Come back to the source, O eternal words, to be spread on this flower bed of God, on this flock, on this offspring. Oh! Come! This is one of the hours, and of the meetings for which you were given, O prophetic words, sounds of love and voices of truth. Here they are. They are coming back to him who inspired them. I now repeat them, in the name of the Father, of my being, and of the Spirit, to these people beloved by God, chosen among the flock of God, which was to consist entirely of lambs, and became corrupted with rams, and even with more unclean animals. You will be suckled and filled from the breast of divine consolation, and you will savor with delight the multifarious glory of God. The Lord says to you, I will send towards you flowing peace, like a river, and like a stream in state, a greater glory than that of the nations. The glory of heaven will flood you. You will suck it, carried at his breast, and you will be fondled in his lap. Yes, as a mother caresses her child, as I am fondling this little boy, whom I gave my name.
And Jesus takes little Jesse from the arms of his mother, who is almost at his feet with her three children.
So I will console you who love me, and will continue to love me, and you will soon be comforted forever in my kingdom. You will see it, and your hearts will be delighted, and your bones will revive like fresh grass, you who are free from fear, because you are faithful to me, when the Lord comes in a coach of fire like a whirlwind, to lead souls in the fire of love and justice, to punish or to praise, separating lambs from wolves, that is, from those who thought that they were sanctifying themselves and becoming pure, whereas they were becoming idolaters. The Lord, who is now departing, will come back, and blessed are those whom he will find persevering until the end. This is my farewell and my blessing. Kneel down that I may fortify you by it. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May he show his face to you and have mercy on you. May the Lord give you his peace. Go. Allow me to take leave of the good people among the good inhabitants of Judah.
The people go away reluctantly. But when the boy is the first to say,
Lord, allow me to kiss your hand.
And Jesus agrees, everybody wishes to kiss the holy body of the Lamb of God, and those who had already gone away towards the village, come back, and children kiss his cheeks, old people his hands, and women his bare feet on the grass, weeping and uttering words of farewell and blessings. Jesus receives them patiently, and bids each of them goodbye. At last they have all been satisfied. Only the hospitable family is left. And they gather around Jesus. And Sarah says,
Will you really not come back again?
No, woman. Never again. But we shall not be separated. My love will always be with you and your family, and yours with me. You will not forget me, I know. But I say to you, even in the most dreadful hours which are to come, do not welcome falsehood, not even as a guest passing through or a sudden invader. Give me the baby, Sarah.
The woman hands Jesse to him, and Jesus sits on the grass with the child in his lap, and he speaks with his face bent over the head of the little boy.
Always remember that I am the Lamb, whom Isaac taught you to love even before you became acquainted with me. And that a lamb is always innocent, like this child, even if they envelop it in the skin of a wolf, to make it look like an evildoer. Remember that I am even more innocent than this baby, who, fortunate fellow, because of his innocence and age will not be able to understand the slander of men about his Lord, and, therefore, will not be upset by it. And he will continue to love me thus, as now. Have hearts like his, for the Lamb, the friend, the innocent one, the Savior, who loves you, and blesses you in a very special manner. Goodbye, Mary. Come and give me a kiss. Goodbye, Emmanuel. Come here as well. Goodbye, Jesse, little lamb of the Lamb. Be good. Love me.
Are you weeping, Lord?
Asks the little girl, who is surprised seeing a tear shine on Jesse's hair.
Is he weeping?
Asks Sarah's husband.
Are you weeping, Master? Why?
Asks the woman.
Do not grieve at my tears. They are love and blessing. Goodbye, Sarah. Goodbye, man. Come, like the others, to kiss your departing friend.
And after the two have kissed his hands, he puts the baby in his mother's arms, he blesses once again, and then he quickly begins to descend the same road by which he came up. He is followed by the farewell greetings of those who remained. By the deep voice of the man, the moved one of the woman, the thrilling cries of the children, down to the foot of the hill. Then only the torrent, which he walks upstream northwards, greets the master, who leaves the land of Judah for good.